Amen. You can take a seat. Thank you, Kyle. And if you weren't here at the beginning, I just want to reiterate the welcome that Sarah gave. We're excited to be here in God's house this morning. I hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving with family, friends, whoever you celebrated with. And we're just happy to be together and sing praise and worship God. And kids, we're happy that you're in here with us this morning. It is a fifth Sunday. And like Sarah said as well, we figured that after Thanksgiving, we would forego the meal that we usually share after a fifth Sunday. So we had it last month instead, because I know there's Thanksgiving leftovers waiting for everybody at home. Can heat those up, enjoy them for the fifth time. They're still just as good the fifth time. It's incredible. So this morning, we are going to be in Luke chapter 2. It is Christmas season officially, after all. So we're going to be looking at part of the birth narrative in Luke chapter 2. And as you can see by the slide, we're going to be talking about waiting this morning. But before we jump in, I'm going to pray again, ask the Lord to bless our time together, and then we'll dive into God's word. So let's pray. God, we don't want to read your word. I don't want to talk about your word without completely relying on you to give us the meaning, the interpretation. Holy Spirit, impress this word on our hearts. Shape us and change us and mold us more into your image. Thank you that you have not left us without your revelation, without showing us who you are and what you're like. So be with us today. Give us a focus and an anticipation to hear from you. God, soften our hearts, ready us to respond with repentance and with faith. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving's over, and so it is officially full-time Christmas season. Some of you I know started back in October. Psychopaths. I'm just kidding. We still love you. I personally don't start until Thanksgiving's over. I let Thanksgiving have its moment, but now it's full gear Christmas. I am like elf status all the way. I want to ask the kids, does anyone know how many days are left until Christmas? 26. It depends how you count. I would say 25, because you don't count Christmas Day. But yeah, I guess technically it's 26, because tomorrow's December 1st, 25 days. And kids, don't you just love waiting for Christmas? No? Waiting is so much fun. Raise your hand, kids. Raise your hand if December 1st through 24th is the slowest time of year. It takes 8 years to pass those 24 days. It seems like it's never going to end. Waiting for Christmas. Of course, we don't love waiting. That's not a secret. And kids, here is the secret, though. Kids, your parents don't like waiting either. I promise. Nobody likes waiting. But here's the problem. Life is full of waiting for stuff all the time. Everywhere you look, we're waiting. We're waiting for the AC to kick on, right? They had the heat on this morning because of the temperature outside. It's the whole thing. It's automated. Technology is the best, right? We're waiting for the AC to come on. We wait in line at the grocery store. You go to Disney. And you wait until the day finally comes. We're going to Disney. And then you get there, and what do? You wait some more. You wait an hour and a half to go on a three-minute ride. And you say, oh, but the fast pass. Listen, with the fast pass, the waiting comes on the back end. Because even if you buy the fast pass, you know, you only wait 10 minutes, whatever. Then you wait 3 years for your bank account to fill back up for buying the fast pass. So wherever you look, we have to wait all the time. Life is full of waiting. Some things are worth waiting for, though. Some things aren't worth waiting for. Kids, is Christmas worth waiting for? Give a thumbs up if you think, yes, it's worth the wait. I would say so. Christmas is amazing. But even still, I'm going to share something maybe this will make me sound spoiled or I don't know, like some weird existential crisis kid. I remember specifically growing up, Christmas morning, like you invest 2 months of your life just waiting for this moment. And Christmas morning comes and you open your presents, and my parents, they did amazing. They got us toys and all the things. But even still, Christmas afternoon came. And I don't know if I'm the only one. There would come this feeling of like, man, I invested so much of my life for this morning and it's already gone. It's done. And even though I had all the presents and I got what I wanted, I was left with this like weird empty feeling still. Like it's this Christmas afternoon feeling. Like, man, was that really it? It's already over. It's gone like that. So many of the things we wait for in life, they just don't last. It's worth the wait in the moment, and like you're opening the presents and you're so excited and you're with your family, and then you blink and it's gone. And then you wait 365 more days for it to happen again. There's this Christmas afternoon thing, because the things we wait for never last. And it's like we're searching for Willy Wonka's everlasting gobstopper of joy and fulfillment. Like we can't quite find something that will last. Everything we wait for, the period of waiting is way longer than how long the thing lasts of what we were waiting for. And we're looking for something that'll flip the script, something that will just keep going, keep lasting. There was one sad nihilistic philosopher who said that all of life is a Christmas afternoon. We spend our whole life looking for the next thing to look forward to, and then we wait for it, and then it comes, and it leaves, and then we're left kind of disappointed and sad that it's over. So then we scramble and we look for the next thing. What else can I look forward to? The next vacation, the time off, the financial security, whatever it is. Maybe you're looking forward to having kids. And then we have kids, you look forward to nap time, right? It's like you're always looking for the next thing that we can get excited about. But all of life is a Christmas afternoon, according to some. And that's super depressing, right? Merry Christmas. The afternoon's coming. So what do we do? If life is filled with waiting and everything we wait for never quite scratches that itch all the way, what do we do? Well, the good news is the Bible has a lot to say about waiting. And here's the one thing we'll find. Waiting, it's part of the human experience. And I think the Bible shows us that waiting is actually a feature of the human experience. It's not a bug. It's a feature of, we're supposed to have this longing. We're actually, it's wired within us. It's not a bug. It's not like a result of the fall. There's something that we are meant to long for and wait for. We just need to wait for the right thing. Or maybe we could say we need to wait for the right person. So I'm going to throw up three verses. The Bible has to say a lot about waiting. Lamentations 3. The Lord is good to those who wait for who? For him, to the soul who seeks him. Then we see in Isaiah 40, but they who wait for what? For the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And last one in Psalm 27. Wait for who? The Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The Bible knows we are wired to wait, and it's encouraging us, commanding us even, to wait for the right thing, to wait for God himself. So here's the question. What are you waiting for? What's the next thing you're looking forward to? What are you waiting for? It reminds me of the movie The Incredibles, the superhero family. And Mr. Incredible, he's the strong guy. One day he's frustrated at work. He gets home. And with his strength, he like bends the frame of his car and he can't shut the door and he gets frustrated and he lifts the car up. And you remember who's watching him? There's a little tricycle kid and he like has the bubble gum that pops in his face. Well, the next day, Mr. Incredible pulls in the driveway again. He closes the door normally, and the kids wait, like sitting there. And he goes, Mr. Incredible says, what are you waiting for? And I feel like this is us in our life. He's like, I don't know, something amazing, I guess, right? Like, what are you waiting for? Just something amazing? Are you waiting for something that's just not your boring, monotonous routine? Are you waiting for financial security? Are you waiting for relief from pain? Kids, are you waiting for something that's just not school or homework? Adults, are you waiting for broken relationships to be restored? For healing? For peace? What are you waiting for? And as we've already established, waiting gets a really bad rap. Nobody enjoys it. It's not fun. And I've noticed, I sense this stirring, especially among young people. People are sick and tired of waiting in many different areas. I think we can see this a lot politically right now. People are tired of waiting. And it's like the waiting is done. It's time to take action. And you see this with protests and other things, but more sadly and more extremely, we're seeing acts of violence. We're seeing more and more people, they're done with the waiting. They're like, it's time to make the change and I'm going to bring it about. I have to do this because nobody else is stepping up, so I'm going to do it. And they're taking action. I've even noticed a trend religiously. People are tending to kind of flock towards expressions of religion that involve more action, like the Catholic faith, where you do stuff and you can like see your efforts and like how you're contributing to this thing. People are tired of waiting. They want to take action. They want to do stuff. And that can become very dangerous. I'll explain why in a minute. But let me say this first. In Jesus's day, when Jesus comes on the scene, as we're about to see in Luke chapter 2, there's this group called the Pharisees. Their worldview, their idea was that if we obey good enough, and if we follow the rules closely enough, then God will bring his blessing. He will rescue his people. He's gonna make it happen. So they were trusting in their own performance, in their own contribution. And they're like, once we get our act together, that's when God's gonna come. That's when he's going to do what he promised he was going to do. And so the difference is, where is your trust? Waiting and trusting are very closely aligned. And we're going to see that in just a second. But God, he doesn't work like the Pharisees thought he worked. God works differently. And it's almost like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to add to scripture. It's almost like you could add a beatitude once we read this section of Luke 2. It's like, blessed are those who wait. Blessed are those who wait. I know that's not a beatitude, but I think we can extrapolate that principle. Blessed are those who wait. And we're going to see in Luke chapter 2, it's blessed are those who wait on the Lord specifically, because they're acknowledging, I have no power within myself to bring God's salvation, to bring his rescue. I'm relying on him. It's his timeline. It's his world. I'm going to trust him and I'm going to wait. So we'll see that Simeon and Anna, they are waiting on the right thing and they are waiting in the right way. So I've already said enough. Let's read the passage. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. And I'll have it up on the screen as well. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's anointed one. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed. Sorry, I forgot to switch the slide. Oh, they did it for me. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So as a question we're going to answer in this text is, what does faithful waiting look like? If we're wired to wait, life is full of it, what does faithful waiting look like? And we see for Simeon, what he is doing, if you look in his passage, I might have highlighted it, I think. Oh, that's what he's waiting for. The way he is waiting is he is a righteous and devout man. He is just fulfilling those tasks the Lord has put before him, and he's waiting. He's righteous, he's devout. And when it comes to Anna, the way she is waiting, she's worshiping constantly. She's fasting and praying day and night, waiting on the Lord. Like I mentioned a second ago, the ability to wait and the ability to trust are like this. They're one and the same. You're not going to wait for something that you don't trust will come through on what you're waiting for. You'll just leave. You'll stop waiting. You'll find something else to wait for. When I asked Alexa, I was reading through this passage, just trying to like brainstorm. And I asked her, what does waiting mean, or what does it look like for adults? Like, what is our experience with waiting? And her first thought was that waiting means trusting. They're completely linked, waiting and trusting. And let me clarify this. There's this, as I mentioned, there's this growing sense of like, we need to take action. I'm done waiting. Faithful waiting does not mean inaction. Simeon and Anna were not just sitting on their hands, whistling a tune, producing nothing, doing nothing. That's not what waiting is. Instead, it's leaving the things that are only in God's control up to him. And you have these tasks the Lord has given you for you specifically in your day, in your family, in your job, in your community. And you just faithfully perform those tasks waiting on the Lord. You're righteous, devout, patient, worshiping, praying. And Simeon and Anna, they were not trusting in their actions to bring about God's salvation. That's the difference with them and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were living faithfully in order to bring God's salvation. They were trying to make it happen. Simeon and Anna were faithfully, they were faithful just waiting for God. They knew it was on God's timeline. He was going to make it happen. What are you trusting in is the difference. They were totally surrendered to the Lord, to his timeline, and they just continued being faithful in the little things. That is what faithful waiting looks like. And now we're going to see what they were waiting for. For Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation is this, it's a beautiful word, and it's comfort specifically after suffering has taken place. It's a comfort that brings relief in and through and after the suffering has happened. And what's really cool is that Greek word for consolation is the same word used to describe the Holy Spirit as the, if you've heard the Greek word paraclete, the parakaleo, this is like the verb of that. It's to comfort, to come alongside, to be the helper, to be that comforting presence. That's what Simeon's waiting for. And what Anna is waiting for is redemption. the redemption of Jerusalem. Where's the slide? There we go. Her and the people she's sharing the good news with were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. If you put these two concepts together, we can summarize it in the word salvation. They're waiting on God and on his rescue. They're waiting on salvation. And throughout the Old Testament, the scripture of Simeon and the scripture of Anna, the stories they're reading, the account of God and his faithfulness, this word salvation keeps referring to events in the Old Testament. Think of the Exodus. God's people are in slavery. They're in bondage. God sends the plagues. Pharaoh lets the people go. Then they're trapped between the Red Sea and the approaching army. And then God splits the waters they can escape through, and God closes the waters in on the army. That was described as salvation. That was God's rescue. It's also used in like military victories when Israel was a fully formed nation and they're battling their enemies. And God shows up, he confuses the enemies, or his angel slaughters the enemy. That's God's salvation. And then with David, he talks about God rescuing him. God is his salvation from his enemies. So it refers to these events in the Old Testament. What's really cool is here in Luke chapter 2, the word salvation, it's not an event, it's a person. Because Simeon is holding this baby. And he looks down and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation is a person in Jesus Christ. This baby who was born, God's salvation has come. One more fun fact. When you read the Old Testament, when you come across that word salvation, when it talks about the Exodus or a military victory, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua, which is Jesus's name. His name is salvation. That's who he is. That's what he does. Salvation is a person. And what that means is God's full final rescue is he himself coming down as a human being, living this life on our behalf, dying, going to the cross, totally giving himself up for us to secure his people once and for all. Salvation is a person, and that person accomplishes our redemption, and he gives our consolation. He is everything we need. And then in Simeon's blessing or his prayer, he mentions that this is not just for the Israelites, but this is for the whole world, for the Gentiles and for the people of Israel. This thing's available. And then later it mentions that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's like God's true spiritual people, Jew and Gentile, will be revealed through their faith in Jesus Christ, in the ultimate salvation. That's what they're waiting on. And they get to see it. And Anna has a really cool job. She gets to start sharing the good news with all the people who are waiting. That's her immediate reaction. She just goes and tells people. And she gets to tell people something incredible. The wait is over. It's done. Christmas morning is here. Salvation is here. God saw us. God came. All the prophecies, all the stories in the Old Testament, all of the waiting, it has led to this moment. And Anna's shouting, it's over. The wait is over. He's here. And it's led to this baby. If Simeon and Anna were waiting for the wrong thing, they would have completely missed God's plan. Because it's foolish and silly to think that God's rescue, the Almighty God of the universe who sits on the throne, the way he's going to rescue us is through this baby. To the worldly mind, that's complete folly. If Simeon and Anna were waiting for political victory, or if they were waiting for physical safety or financial success or something other than God, they would have missed this. But because they were waiting on God himself and on his rescue, they got to see the folly of God's plan as divine wisdom. And they got to see the weakness of God's plan as divine strength. It made sense to them because they had their trust and their faith in the right place in God himself. So if you find yourself waiting, like your whole life has just been marked by looking for the next thing, trying to scratch that itch, and that thing didn't quite deliver, so then you look for the next thing, and you're just always waiting. I want to be like Anna. I want to deliver the good news, because for you, today, the wait is over. It's done. Jesus is here. Salvation is here today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait anymore. It's over. The wait is over. He is here. And like the title is saying, he is completely, totally worth the wait. Because he is everything that we need. He is worth the wait because of who he is and what he has done for us, what he will do for us. We are wired, like I said earlier, we are wired to wait, and specifically we are wired to wait for him. And then he comes along and he meets and fills every single desire or ache that our heart and our soul carries. It finds its place in him. I mean, you can think of it this way. This baby, right? God's salvation, this person of rescue, he is perfect, faithful, sacrificial, never giving up, never going to let you go, love embodied in a person. That's who he is. That's who you get to wait for and get to receive. The wait's over. He's here. You can open up to him. He has been broken, given for you. And not only that, he is inexhaustible. So he is the everlasting gobstopper of joy and fulfillment. We're never going to find the end of his glory and of enjoying everything he has made and enjoying every aspect of who he is. It will go on forever. God is the only one, the only thing where our period of waiting for him is going to be way shorter than our actual enjoyment of him forever. Our waiting is like this. It feels like this, but in reality, it is so short. And then we get to enjoy forever all of who he is, and we'll never reach the bottom. I was, me and Alexa had my sister and my brother-in-law over a couple nights ago. And he has one of these really cool testimonies where he didn't grow up in church. He didn't know any of this stuff. And he, all of a sudden, God just like got a hold of him big time. And he was just reflecting on his story and how God just like revealed himself through the word. And then all of a sudden, he just said something so profound. And it made me and Alexa just like pause and appreciate it. He just goes, I don't know. All I know is I was made for him. I was just made for God. And that's true of all of us. Like, we are made for him. And that's the thing we're waiting on. Ultimately, it's him. No holiday, no fun vacation, no promotion is going to scratch that deep itch in our soul of what we need, of what we're actually waiting for, because we were made for him. Nothing else is going to satisfy. So if you find yourself waiting, my prayer is that God would give you faith and trust to accept his foolish plan of salvation, because it seems foolish to eyes that don't have faith, but may he give you the faith to see that. So what is the result of finding him? Once the wait is over, because Anna proclaims it's over, the wait is over, he's here. What's the result? Well, for Simeon, what's really cool is he blesses God and he blesses others. That's what he does immediately. The first thing he does is it says he blessed God, and then he says this beautiful poem or prophecy, and then he turns to the parents and he blesses them. So when we find that ultimate thing, when we find God himself as our rescue, we start blessing God and we start blessing others. And then for Anna, she starts giving thanks. Her life is marked with gratitude, and she starts telling other people. That is what our response is to be when the wait is over and God finds us, he rescues us. We bless God, we bless others, we give thanks, and we tell others about him. Now, final note before we close up. Wait, here it is. The wait is over and the wait is not over. We live in this period of God's story, of history, that theologians call the already and the not yet. So in many, many ways, the wait's over. Like Jesus is here. You can receive him today. The wait is over. In another sense, the wait is not over. Here's what I mean. The already and the not yet. We have already met God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? Like that's done. We've already experienced that. We have already received forgiveness once and for all. We have already received a new heart. We've already been made a new creature. We've already entered into a covenant relationship with God. And we've already been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Those things are done, written in concrete. You cannot undo those things. They are already here. And we have not yet been freed from the presence of sin. We still have this flesh that we fight with and battle with every day. We have not yet been delivered from the cursed world. We still live here. We still experience natural disasters. We still experience horrible, terrible things. We haven't yet been united with God in heaven. We have not yet been removed from suffering and pain. So we're waiting. There is still some waiting to do. And what we're waiting for is that day. That day is coming when Jesus returns. He makes all things new. And not only are the power and penalty of sin gone, now the presence of sin is gone. And we're waiting for that day. And that day is going to be amazing. So as we wait, my encouragement to you, let's wait like Simeon and Anna waited. Simeon waited with righteousness and he was devout. Anna waited with worshiping, with prayer, with fasting. And we trust God. We trust God while we wait. And now I just want to, we'll just take one moment and I want you to name something in your head, that thing that you are waiting on. Not necessarily that day, but something in this life that you are waiting on. Maybe it's a spouse or a family member. You're just waiting for them to either meet the Lord for the first time or to wake up out of a slumber where you're just waiting. You're waiting for something to change. Maybe it's financial security. Maybe it's healing. Whatever it is, just name that thing in your head. And here's what we're allowed to do as Christians. We're allowed to have that thing in our hand and we can hand it back to the Lord because he's the one in control. He is the one who can bring his salvation. And maybe you've been white-knuckling your way. Like maybe if I'm just more faithful and I pray harder and I'm more obedient, then God will do this thing. But that's not how God works. He's the one on the throne. We get to trust him. And there's such a freedom that comes with that. We get to trust his timeline. And the things that are outside of our control, we get to hand that right back to him. Say, God, that's yours. And all I can do is wait and trust. And let him give you that freedom, that relief, that it's on his shoulders. Jesus invited us, your burdens, put them on me. I was meant to carry those, not you. And we get to trust him. We get to wait on him. And I promise you, he will show up. Wait on the Lord. Let him have it. And so as we wait for that day, that day where Jesus makes all things right, everything is new, we get to get really excited. Because on that Christmas morning, there will be no Christmas afternoon feeling. It's going to be Christmas morning forever. There will be no end to our enjoyment of him, and it will be completely well worth the wait. So God, we ask for your help. Waiting is not easy. It does not come naturally to us. And we need faith, God. We need trust. So supply us with the trust we need to wait on you, to be faithful in the tasks you've given us, but to not get over our skis, to not try to to force things to happen that simply are outside of our control, but that we would be overwhelmed with peace, that you are still on your throne, that you see us, that you do care, and that you yourself are our salvation. So even in the waiting, we already have you. So give us the security, give us the confidence, give us the joy that comes with that. We have you, God. And when we have you, what else could we need? So Lord, I just pray that over our church, over your people. Help us to wait. We love you, God. We are so grateful that you sent your salvation. You came down yourself, because nothing less than you would get the job done. It had to be you. So in this season of waiting for Christmas, may we anticipate all the fun and the gifts and the family. And above and through all of that, that we would remember and give thanks to you for who you are and for what you've done for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.